Today marks the beginning of a series of festivals honoring the Panchatattva. Within a week, is Lord Nityananda's appearance day. And then we have Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance day. And I don't know when Srivasa Thakura's appearance day is. Does anyone know? Anyhow, at least three of the Panchatattva will be celebrating. So with the exception of Gadadhar Pandit and Srivasa Thakura. At least the three two Vishnu expansions and one, the avatari, the source of all expansions, Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is an opportunity to tell pastimes, but not about the pastimes of Krishna's Leela in the spiritual world, but pastimes about Krishna's Leela in the material world. Actually, we're living in Krishna's pastimes. And believe it or not, we're all incarnations. We're the full avatars. The mudha avatars. We've also come down to be rascals and fools. So, Advaitacharya, he's Mahavishnu. And I'll just read something from the... Mahavishnu means... We ran into the material world to get away from Krishna, and Krishna ran into the material world to try and catch us. But he's been having hard times eternally trying to get back to the spiritual world because we're a little stubborn. It takes a few hundred trillion billion lifetimes for us to understand that this is not our home. In any case, he's very patient. He expands himself and he happens to be living in our heart. So there's no one closer to Mahavishnu in his expansion of Shiradakshai Vishnu than the super soul in our heart, Antayami, who is, we have Karnadakshai Vishnu, Garbhadakshai Vishnu, and Shiradakshai Vishnu. He's living in the ocean of milk, he's also living in our heart. So, we're talking about today about the person who's closer to us than anyone and further away from us than anyone. Inconceivable. In any case, here's Mahavishnu. And this is Adi Leela, chapter 6, text number 4. This is about the glories of Advaitacharya. Mahavishnu Jagakarta Maya Yak Srijat Maya Yak Srijat Yadaha Tasyavatara Evayam Advaitacharya Ishvaraha. Lord Advaitacharya is the incarnation of Mahavishnu, whose main function is to create the cosmic world through the actions of Maya. Because he is non different from Hari, the Supreme Lord, he is called Advaita. Because he propagates the cult of devotion, he is called Acharya. He is the Lord and incarnation of the Lord's devotees, therefore I take shelter of him. So he's called Bhakti Samsayat, which means as the super soul in our heart, he's the original Acharya. The present Acharyas that we have in our lineage of succession, they're all manifestations of the mercy of Advaitacharya. And what does he do? Bhakti Samshayanat. He tries to convince people to take up devotional service to Krishna, which is the only means by which we can regain our relationship with Krishna. Although we're all devotees, we're devotees of illusion, still we're devotees. We're pure devotees of illusion in the material world. And illusion reciprocates with us. That's why we're perpetually suffering in the material world, because although we're pure devotees of Maya or illusion, Maya does not like her devotees very much. Or at least she doesn't like, her job is not to encourage devotion to her. Just like she expands herself as Durga. I believe Durga has 8 arms and some of them have weapons in them. And she rides on a tiger. I think it's a tiger. Maybe it's a lion. Anyhow, she rides on something big. And for her devotees, she cuts off their heads. So anyone who's a devotee of illusion is certainly an illusion. She gives her devotees what they want, and what they want is useless. But she gives it to them anyhow. Because after all, out of illusion, we're attached to this material world, which is nothing but accommodations and permutations of gross and subtle energy. In other words, it's all earth and fire and air and water and ether, put together in a way that makes it seem very nice. Just like if you're walking on the street and you found a bag of earth and water and fire and ether, would you take it home with you? Anyhow, Maya's made illusion in such a shape that we take it home with us. And then we try to play around with it for some time. And then we put it back into the earth and we cry over it. But in any case, due to illusion, we believe that this is actually what life is meant for. We don't really understand what the purpose of life is. But Advaita Acharya, who actually is the one who created this playground for us, and he controls Maya, he comes because he gets very upset watching the living entities suffering. He's created the material world in order to end our suffering. In other words, somehow or another we've come to the material world to forget about Krishna. Krishna didn't say, hey, would you like to forget about me for some time? I have a good place for you to go. You can have fun for a while without me. Krishna never said that. He never wanted that. But somehow or another, someone must have gotten the idea. I don't think it was me. Maybe it was me. One of us got the idea, hey, let's go to the material world to have fun. And he said, yeah, let's party. And here we are now. And we blame it all on Krishna. Krishna said, where do they all go? Okay, I guess I'll have to follow them. And we blame it on Krishna. If we don't blame it on Krishna, we blame it on our mother. We got to blame it on someone. Why we're suffering. It couldn't be us. We're pure souls. We're nice people. It's God who's bad. No, we don't even believe in him. So, Advaita Acharya, he creates the material world with his energy, and then he arranges it. He has what's called an efficient cause and the causal cause. The causal and the material cause. So, Advaita Acharya is the efficient cause of the material world. He arranges everything for us. As a matter of fact, we desire, and then Advaita Acharya, he's dreaming, and in his dream, he creates our desires for us. Now, Advaita Acharya, in the form of Mahavishnu, he's dreaming. Because in our relationship with Krishna, or God in this material world, we're all asleep. So why should he bother? Why should he be so awake? He only puts half an effort into it because we're only putting half an effort into it. The whole universe is already asleep, so he's also asleep. Instead of everyone else, just like if you're driving a car sometimes and the passengers fall asleep, then the driver starts falling asleep too. So Dvaitacharya is looking at the material universe, and everyone is asleep here, practically speaking. We're all just dreaming. So he said, if they're dreaming, I'll dream too. Yayatamam prapajante, tamstataiva pajamyam. As they surrender, I reward them. So if they're all going to go to sleep, I'll go to sleep too. They want to dream, I'll dream too. So we're dreaming and he's dreaming and here we are. But then he thinks it's time for them to wake up. I mean, 20 billion trillion years is probably enough time to stay awake. And you're trying to wake them. Oh, I'm just a little, just give me another 20 billion years, I'll wake up. It was hard in the material world. I need a little bit more rest. So he comes to wake people up. And of course, people who are asleep in the material world, generally they ignore people who come to wake them up. Hey, wake up. Dvaitacharya, nah, leave me alone. Oh, it's you? Oh, I'm trying to get rid of you. Hare Krishna, get out of here. You go back to sleep too. Let's all dream. So Dvaitacharya, he's God. And he can deliver the souls. He can't wake them up. So what does he do? He goes to the bank of the Ganges and he offers Ganges water and Tulsi leaves and cries out to Vishnu, to Krishna, to please come and save these people. I can't do it. God can't do it. That's why we're having such a hard time doing it. You go on the street and tell people that they're not their body, and they think you're insulting them. That's the first instruction in Bhagavad Gita. What to speak of telling them that there's a God? I mean, and it's not them. This is too much. They don't believe, people in general, they don't mind thinking that there's a God as long as he gives them what they want. As long as he's the big daddy in the sky with a sled and comes down on Christmas and fills your stocking, he's all right. And if they imagine that there's a God, his job is to get nailed and suffer eternally for everything we're doing wrong, he has to take the blame. It's the credit card where you charge over your sins. You don't have to pay for them, you charge them to someone else. So these conceptions of God are not very realistic, because although people think that they're becoming free from their sinful activities, but we can see that actually the whole world is getting deeper and deeper into distress. Because people actually don't know who God is, and they don't know what the purpose of life is. They've imagined it as something which is not. They think the very activities that are causing them distress are the very activities that will cause them happiness eventually. They've glorified all these activities, cow slaughter, illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling, speculation, as pathways to heaven. But actually we can see that there are pathways to the darkest regions of existence. So Advaitacharya, he realizes that I'm God, I've created this place, and I can't get these people out of here. Therefore he prayed for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for Krishna to come, because actually, the only thing that will save people in this age is prema, is love. People can't be commanded to get out of Maya because they think they're doing quite well. Because in the effort to become God, if you have one penny next more than your neighbor has, then you're above him. Just like the general yells to the colonel. The colonel yells at the major yells at the captain yells at the lieutenant yells at the sergeant, the The sergeant yells at the corporal, the corporal yells at the private, and the private goes and kicks the dog. So if we can just feel ourselves better than someone else, then we think we're all right. Our purpose is served. If we have a better, you know, bigger family, we have more dogs in our house than anyone else, and they're prettier dogs than anyone else has in the block, we think we're actually superior. There's something to be proud about. That's what everyone in the material world is simply searching for, something to be proud about. That I may die soon, but I'm going to have the biggest grave. And people are going to come regularly and cry for me. And I'm going to stay there as a ghost and accept their offerings. My life is successful. That the fools were deriding at my descending like in a human form. But they don't know that now people are crying on my grave and I'm enjoying it like anything. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes on the behalf of Advaita Acharya. And how does Advaita Acharya, how does he bring Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? By his loud chanting, by his loud calling for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come. Seeing the distressed condition of the living entities, he's loudly calling, crying for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for Krishna to come. Now we ourselves, we can see the distress of the living entities in this material world, the human beings and all other living entities. And to some extent, we may be trying to help them. So that's the secret of Krishna consciousness, to actually understand how distressful it is to live in the material world in separation from Krishna. How much we have to rely upon Krishna and call out for him and his energy, Srimati Radharani, to save us. If we think we're doing all right, that's only due to false prestige and false propaganda. Because no one in the material world, from Brahma down to the meanest insect, is doing all right, and we fit in somewhere in between there. So we're probably not doing all right either. So if you think you have some problems, you're right. We've eternally had problems in the material world. Namely, we took birth here, which, although it's glorified, you know, the stork brings a little child. Oh, so cute. But the little child has to grow up. I mean, birth is rather unpleasant. Old age, well, you'll find out. If you make it that far. Disease, everyone is in disease. You can just look around and see everyone is trying to figure out how to put their body in such ways to make it through the class. Dis-ease, lack of ease. Half the audience is taking shelter of the wall. Others are taking shelter of the pillar. They know it's not Nisingadev's appearance day, so nothing's going to come out. And then there's death. We struggle throughout our existence. We take birth. We're screaming when we take birth. If we're not, then they slap us a few times. Hey, kid. Rah, rah, rah. Welcome. That's the good part of existence. We wish you a happy birthday because your first birthday wasn't so happy. And then we go through trying to figure out getting rid of our little baby teeth, trying to make sure they come in, hopefully straight, so we spend the rest of our life at the dentist. We grow up taking tests, 1 + 1 = 3, no, you stupid. You're going to be in the first grade class forever. Your next life, you'll be back in the first grade. And then we finally make it out of school, and then you got to go to college in order to work at the local grocery store. Got to get your PhD to learn how to read. Then you get married, and you have children. You play around with them for a little while, and then they turn out to be juvenile delinquents. Trying to figure out how to get rid of you so they can collect their inheritance. You're hoping they were going to help you out in old age, and they're hoping you don't make it past 50. And then we grow old, and we, in America, they have all these old age homes, and you suffer. And the people who are taking care of you suffer more than you do. So everyone's praying to leave. And then finally the glorious moment happens and you leave your body and you come back in another body. Start the whole thing over again. Baby teeth, school. And they're saying we're making progress. Progress where? To what? So Advaita Acharya, out of compassion, he comes, and Chaitanya, he calls for Krishna to come, and he tries to teach, as a super soul, that that's what we should be doing too, is calling out, not to, if you live in the temple and you chant japa, not too loud, japa. Everyone else has to chant also. Call out loudly the holy name, so that Krishna will actually come to us. Not that, hey Krishna, you know, I got 5 minutes, you know, would like to come? I have a few minutes for you, you know, if you'd like to come, I'll see you. Sorry, you're a little late. We'll see you tomorrow. No, to actually be anxious to associate with Radha and Krishna and their eternal associates in the spiritual world. To become anxious, so Advaita Acharya comes and he brings Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he calls out to him, and for that reason, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I was sleeping as Aniruddha on the ocean of milk, and you were crying out so loudly you woke me up. So I had to find out what was going on. So I came to this place, and I see what you were talking about, so I'll start the Sankirtan movement. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows, as Advaita Acharya knew, that the only way to convince these people to surrender is to give them love, give them a higher taste, give them transcendental happiness, because they don't even want to take it. Therefore, I'm going to start the Sankirtan movement and chant the holy name. So even they don't want Krishna, they're trying to get away from him, they don't know anything about him, still I'm going to bring him, Krishna, directly to them, in the form of the holy name. And for those who are fortunate, those who are more innocent than the others, those who are not convinced that they hate God or they're trying to spend their whole life to make sure that they stay God in relationship to everyone else, who are willing to give up, to recognize their actual position rather than live on the material illusory platform, that I actually, compared to others, I am God. Why do people get a dog? Why do they get a cat? Why do they get a parakeet? Just like when it was warm, I was walking around this block every day, and there's one parakeet whose his whole life is just looking at the window when the window's open. And I walk by him every day, and he's just the same stare for years. what kind of happiness can you get from having a parakeet? Except for the fact that you think, I am maintaining the parakeet. You know what a parakeet is? What's a parakeet? What's that? No one knows what a parakeet is? It's a bird. Well, in America, they give it a more fancy name. They say parakeet. Parrots are not so important, but parakeet, that's a high-class parrot. So what kind of happiness? Just the idea, I'm maintaining this parrot. All right. No, a parrot is different from a parakeet. Parrot, it actually talks to you, so it repeats words. Parakeet is just this little useless bird that looks like a parrot. You walk by, it just stares at you. It's like there's this dog our chiropractor has. Can't remember anything. We've seen it for years now. And it, every time it sees us, it's like the first time. So the fact is that people enjoy feeling better than everyone else by someone. That's all. That's the material world. I am superior to you. I'm bigger than you. I'm faster than you. Or I'm smaller than you. Or I'm slower than you. I'm fatter than you. Or I'm thinner than you. I'm stronger than you. Or I'm weaker than you. Somehow or another, whatever we are, we think we're better than others. And that's the whole material enjoyment, practically speaking. Even eating. Here's the banana from South America. So I own part of South America in the form of this banana. I've never been there, but it came to me. And now it's offering dunderbuss to my plate. Just begging to merge with me. And by my mercy, I allow it to enter into the sacred realm of my mouth and fall into the fire of sacrifice. And I'm the beneficiary of the sacrifice. And by the sacrifice, I grow stronger and bigger. And therefore, I'm able to accept more apples, bananas, pears, and oranges into the sacrifice from all over the world. So though I'm not the supreme controller, but I'm getting there. So the whole material world is in that mentality. And only by the loud chanting of the holy name can actually we wake up a little bit to find out that this whole playground that we have is a very bad game. Because here no one wins and no one breaks even. Everyone comes in the same place, dead last. We may appear to be winning the race at the beginning, but at the end of the day, everyone comes in the same place. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes on behalf of Advaita Acharya and offers the Sankirtan movement, offers an opportunity to understand what Krishna said 5,000 years ago when he spoke the Bhagavad Gita and when he displayed his pastimes. Because we're so dull, we think it's all an illusion, that the sun's rising by accident, the sun's setting by accident, that we're eating food, it's being digested, assimilated, and unnecessary parts eliminated. Everything we think is wrong. We don't see anything in relationship to God, because we don't even see God. We think it's all an accident. It came out of nothing. People, even if they don't say that, they're living like that. And therefore, by this chanting, it wakes us up because it gives us association with Krishna, which is the only thing that will actually wake us up, is to associate with Krishna somehow or another. However, we may be interested or disinterested, still by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna is there, although who knows where we are. As I said before, we may be seeing the pictures of the deities, and we're saying, well, that's a nice picture. I wonder who painted it. And Krishna is looking at us saying, well, that's a nice devotee. I wonder when he's going to wake up, when he's going to understand who he actually is or who she is. So the Sankirtan movement given to us by the grace of Advaita Acharya, because unless he had called out for Krishna, unless he was sincerely interested in helping the conditioned souls of this age, Krishna would not have come. Therefore, we owe a debt to Advaita Acharya, and we should take up his position as the servant of Lord Chaitanya. When Advaita Acharya saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of the devotees, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said. But he always said, I'm the servant of Lord Chaitanya. Although he's God, he wants to be a servant of Krishna. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would offer, because Advaita Acharya, he took birth 52 years earlier than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was 10, Advaita Acharya was over 60. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was 20, Advaita Acharya was in his 70s. So there's a big difference between someone who's 20, someone who's 30, and someone who's 80. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Advaita Acharya, he was initiated by Ishvara Puri. Actually, he was initiated by Madhavendra Puri, the spiritual master of Ishvara Puri. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would always take him as his spiritual master. But Advaita Acharya didn't like that, because he knew who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. He's the source of everything. He's the source of all ecstatic loving exchanges. He's the complete manifestation of all loving exchanges between Radha and Krishna and their associates. So he wanted to be a servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always offering him respect all the time. So he decided, I'll do something so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will show his real position, that I'm not his master, I'm the servant of him. So Advaita Acharya did what he thought would be the quickest way to grab Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's attention. So he went to a place where there are Mayavadis, and he started to preach the Vishishtadvaita philosophy, that God and the soul are one. So they came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, you're Advaita Acharya, who you're worshipping all the time. He's going around now, he's teaching everyone that God and the soul are the same. What do you think about that? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became furious, and he ran to the place. And he saw Advaita Acharya, and he said, you're teaching God and the soul are the same? So he started to beat Advaita Acharya. And Advaita Acharya's wife, Sita Devi, was there and said, don't hit him, he's an old man. And Advaita Acharya was smiling, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu realized, oh, this is a trick. And Advaita Acharya is really happy. He said, now it's been exposed. I'm your servant and you're the master. In any case, the end, because we don't have so much time, we do have to take prasadam before the end of Advaita Acharya's appearance. So at the end of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is ecstatic, getting more and more ecstatic in separation from Radha and Krishna himself. The whole mood, Krishna, he left Vrindavan to put the gopis and the cowherd boys and Mother Jasoda and all the residents into separation, because that's the most ecstatic. When one's feelings towards the beloved are the most intense, is in separation. But in separation, spiritually, one actually is the closest. The more one feels separation from Krishna, the more one is intimately associated with Krishna. So even in Krishna Leela, Krishna lives in Dwarka, and he's most intensely separated from the residents of Vrindavan. And the residents of Vrindavan, they're in Vrindavan, but they feel intense separation from Krishna, Although Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, because that's the highest pleasure. It's not the only pleasure, because meeting is also pleasurable, but also the meeting of being of meeting is also pleasurable, because also separation is pleasurable. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was feeling more and more separation, but he didn't know where to go because the Dvaitacharya had called him here. You just don't leave when you're a guest. So, Dvaitacharya realized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission has been fulfilled. He's displayed practically all the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in this pastime. In other words, the Sankirtan movement, chanting the holy name and dancing, taking prasadam. I haven't forgotten about that. And it's all the same as Krishna Leela. What is Krishna Leela? The rasa dance, they're taking prasadam, they're talking about Krishna, they're feeling separation from Krishna. It's the exact same Leela, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, so he displayed it again in a way that we can all participate. You don't even have to learn dancing. You don't even have to learn how to sing. You don't even have to learn how to take prasadam. It's all there. Even if we don't know what we're doing, which I guess we'll find out when we become Krishna conscious what we're doing, but even if we don't know, still we get the benefit in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. And even when in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, even out of ignorance, we sometimes commit offenses, but they can be excused. Now in Krishna Leela, that doesn't happen. You don't come in with the prasadam to serve Radha and Krishna and spill it on them in Krishna Leela. You're out. How did he get in here? No, we can do, somehow or another, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so merciful that because he's in the mood of a devotee, if we participate in worshiping Gaur Nitai, for instance, then we get all the benefit and we occur practically none of the offenses, the reactions for our offenses. Even Prabhupada wanted to devotees to manufacture Gaur Nitai deities and sell them on the street, sell them to the people like we sell books. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so merciful. And Advaitacharya, he called him here so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wouldn't leave until Advaitacharya sent him a note, saying, a cryptic note, saying that now that the dancer has come, it's time for him to go back, to stop the dance. There's no reason for him to dance anymore. He can go back where he came from. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got the note from Advaitacharya and said, my person who called me tells me I should go back. So Swarup Damodar, no one understood the note. I don't remember exactly what the note was. None of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates understood what the note was about, except for Swarup Damodar. And he realized the note meant that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go back to the spiritual world. So everyone was wondering what's going on, and Swarup Damodar Maharaj was morose. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstasy increased thousandfold until he disappeared, I guess, into the Toda Gopinath deity. So Advaitacharya was instrumental for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's coming, and he was instrumental for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's leaving. But it's not that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ever left, because his pastimes are still going on. This is the Sankirtan movement. As long as the Sankirtan movement goes on for the next 10,000 years, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is available. He's also participating in it. The only reason why the Sankirtan movement works is not due to our prowess, our good looks, our intelligence, our loud singing. It only works because when we sing and we want Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come, then he comes. And therefore the Sankirtan movement goes on. is that going on? Because just like everyone knows how disorganized the Hare Krishna movement is. Was one Mataji told me, who's the head of the, Urmila Mataji, who's the head of the Shastric Advisory Committee, all the scholars and intellects in our movement. She said trying to organize them is like trying to herd cats. You ever try to herd cats? So everyone knows how disorganized. There's no way this with. It's like people go to India, they realize that there's God immediately. Because there's no way this place can go on without God. Look, I mean, especially that you ride the. Do you ever see a movie, a video of people driving on this road in India? There's no way it can go on unless there was a God. Is that right, Nityasen? So there's no way this movement can go on unless when we chanted Hare Krishna, Krishna was there. It's the only thing that would keep us going. There's no other energy that we have. Because we go on Sankirtan and we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Nam, whatever, even the temple summit, at our home, somehow or another, when we chant, Krishna is there. So it keeps us alive, so we don't go back to deep sleep. So Advaita Acharya came, called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's still here in the movement. He never really left. He's just encouraging us to take part, to bring him, to keep him here, at least for the next 10,000 years. And then after that, we got all hide in the caves away from those little pygmies that are going to come and eat us. But for at least the next 10,000 years, we should try to wake up and spread the Hare Krishna movement so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can give his mercy to the conditioned souls, and especially to the major one conditioned soul we can give mercy to, namely ourselves. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Kuala, Grantaraj, Chi Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kijai.